and we got a call for shots fired. And unfortunately, on Fort Hood, we take that far too often. Normally, there's the funerals that the soldiers do for our fallen comrades in Afghanistan or Iraq.
Huh.
So initially, that's where we thought the call was. Okay, maybe they're practicing the 21-gun salute, and they didn't call the police department to notify them, and, you know, somebody was just panicking. So, but still, we take it for granted that it's real, and we go there as fast as possible. So we're en route. And then a couple of seconds later, our dispatcher calls us back on the radio and says, hey, they hear more shots fired in the background and people screaming. So we pushed it up a little bit further. And as soon as we got there, there's a lot of bystanders standing around pointing in to the direction of where the shots were coming from. And then once we exited our vehicles, within about another 30 to 40 seconds, we had taken care of the situation there and placed the individual hand irons, and then started first aid on the wounded, and tried to coordinate for all the helicopters and medevacs to come in and take care of the rest of the wounded, and that was pretty much that.
At what point did you realize that this was out of the ordinary?
Once our dispatcher called us back the second time on the radio and said, hey, that she actually heard from the 911 calls other shots being fired, because once you hear a 21-gun salute from an M4, you pretty much know that sound. And then once you hear a different, you know, series of sounds, you're like, hey, this is not the normal salute for the fallen comrades. It's something real. That with all the people screaming and yelling and the panic in people's voices, you're like, hey, this is real. We need to really go ahead and be on our A game on this one.
And this is, of course, the stuff that you get trained for. And yet, is it scared that goes through your mind, or do you know, you've just been trained for this so much that you just sort of instincts kick in?
Although you've been trained for it, initially when you get the call, there is a serious amount of fear that goes through your body. Okay, while you're driving there, you think, okay, what do I got to do? How I got to do it? What am I going to do? What to expect? But once you get on scene, your fear kind of goes back into reserve, and to the back of your mind, and then you rely on your training, because we train on this almost on a daily basis, so it becomes instinctual. It's just your imprint. So the more you train on it, once it happens in real life, it's like, okay, this is serious, but you've been trained to do this. Go ahead and do what you've been trained to do.
And you're normally on the K-9 unit, but it volunteered for patrol duty that day, as I understand it.
Yes, and actually, the night before, I was at the house and I was looking at our duty schedule, and I seen a hole in our duty schedule because the person who was supposed to be working the road that day, he was out of town at a funeral for one of our K-9 handlers that actually got blown up in an IED and overseas. So they were over there with the family for the funeral services, and it was just an oversight that, you know, we didn't plug in for somebody to fill in the rope duty. So I called my supervisor and said, hey, we got a hole in our rope position. I'll volunteer to go ahead and fill that out, so the rope commitment is fulfilled. And that's how that happened. It just a coincidence. It should have been my day off, but, you know, unforeseen circumstances where I happened to be at work that day.
I read quotes from you saying that you don't consider yourself a hero in any way, shape, or form. I think a lot of other people, myself included, probably disagree with you. You did some pretty amazing things, but there has to be almost a feeling of, oh my goodness, a hero. That sounds like, you know, you have to open up your shirt and show your big Superman on your chest or something like that.
Exactly. Growing up in the 70s and 80s, you know, a lot of cartoons, Spider-Man, Superman. You see heroes, they flying through the air with the, you know, coming out of phone booths. I'm like, I'm just the average soldier, well, former soldier, now a civilian police officer. You know, this is what we train to do, this is what we do. You come to work to help people out on a daily basis, and I was just happened to be there doing my job.
And one of the other things I read was you went back to work the day after and for a couple days thereafter, right?
Yes. Got to keep the normalcy. They offer me time off, but
don't think you can take a day off after that kind of incident.
But I'm thinking, what am I going to do at home? Just sit there and relive it in my mind over and over again? I'd rather be out with my guys, you know, people I work with day in, day out. That way, I'm not just sitting there like, okay, this happened. It kept my mind fresh and alert, you know, keeping the routine, getting things as much as possible back to a, you know, day-to-day routine.
There has to be like almost a little bit of, to use, I don't know what the correct phrase is, but post-traumatic stress kind of thing that comes up where you do relive this and you, not flashbacks, but I mean, it comes back in some kind of way where you think about, oh my goodness, this really happened.
Actually, it does, but fortunately, a couple of years earlier, I went through a couple of classes, and one of them was a critical incident peer support group.
Huh.
And so all the stuff that was happening to me in my mind, I was thinking, I refer back to my manual, I'm like, okay, this is what's happening. Once I went through the course, I expected things to happen. So as things were happening, I looked through the manual, like, okay, this happened, all right, at a fate. Go talk to some people. I talked to a lot of my family, my friends. You know, anything that came to my mind, I didn't keep it bottled up.
And be very aware that this, you almost have like your checklist. You can walk through, okay, I'm going to be feeling this next.
Yeah, pretty much that. The class that I took, the Critical Incident Peer Support Group, it was outstanding. And it kind of takes you like a checklist step by step by step. Now, some things happen faster than other things. It's not exactly an order, but it's things that you to expect. Like, you know, you're going to relive it, flashbacks. Sometimes you have nightmares. Unfortunately, I didn't have nightmares. But, you know, whenever I need to talk to somebody, I can find somebody to talk with. Here on Fort Hood, there's always somebody to talk with. And then our local union, AFTE, they have outstanding people to talk to. And they supported us 100%.
Well, had you heard of the Sammies before?
Actually, I hadn't.
Oh, great.
I got the email. I'm like, okay, great.
Well, it's I always say it's like the Oscars awards, but for government folks. So it's what they actually I get to go to this thing every year. So I can't wait to actually I'm going to find you and I'm going to meet you.
Okay.
Well, and congratulations on, I know sometimes it can feel weird where people are saying congratulations for you, for what you feel like you were doing your job, but there are those moments where you can go, it can be, as you say, it's kind of scary to do it, and this is what you trained to do.
Yeah, exactly. I've been in law enforcement, you know, through the military and civilian life, pretty much going on 25 years, and police work is pretty much a thankless job. So we meet people, you know, day to day on their worst days. You know, we may be on our, you know, best days, but when we meet people, it's on their worst days. So a lot of attitudes towards law enforcement is, you know, particularly negative unless we're there to help somebody. So just for somebody just to say, hey, thank you for a job well done, you know, it's kind of surprising because you don't hear that every day, you know. It's just the entire police force was en route to do the exact same thing that me and Kim did. We just happened to get there first, so just for somebody to say thank you and a handshake, that's all I needed. That's plenty for me.